You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Case against Brian Koberger. We are still watching it and still kind of shaking our heads at the alibi. They did finally give an alibi. Well, they gave one first, saying he likes to drive around. Then they added the moon and the stars to it and said, this is the official. He likes the moon and the stars. He likes to go hiking. And we got some expert witness who's going to say that all this other cell phone data that you have putting him in these places, he wasn't there. Oh, but his phone was off. So I don't really know how they're going to show that. And that's some of the arguments that have been made back from the state to the defense of Brian Koberger, saying this still isn't an alibi. Adding the moon and the stars doesn't make it different. And how are you going to have any data on a phone that wasn't active during the time of the crimes being committed? Eric Fattis, defense attorney, joining me. Answer those questions for me in your crystal ball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what comes to mind is defendants have a lot of leeway in terms of the defenses that they want to bring. But you still need a little bit of evidence to support the defense you're running. So, you know, if it was self-defense, you got to at least have some evidence that your person was acting to defend themselves and wasn't the aggressor the whole time. That's sort of what we're seeing with this alibi, where the prosecution's saying, hey, what evidence do you have in support of this? You don't have a witness, which is almost always required. You have an alibi witness mm-hmm. who's saying, no, this guy was somewhere else at the time. And so it's looking more like a general denial type of defense that has that cool alibi term put on top of it to make it more compelling for this jury without really the substance that's required to run an effective alibi.
Now, what does it mean here where, okay, the alibi defense, you have to have it submitted by a certain time. It has to be legit. Doesn't appear to be, that at all. So what happens now if they're saying, look, this isn't an alibi? Can they not bring that up then in the case itself when this goes in front of a jury? They can't say he liked to look at the moon and stars? Or what does it mean if you don't come up with an alibi by your required deadline?
It means you have to argue that same position in a more indirect way to the jury, in a way that's probably less strong and less compelling. You know, instead of saying Koberger wasn't at the scene, you would have to say, hey, look, there's no evidence that he was at the scene. You know, instead of saying that he was driving around looking at the stars, you can say, hey, look, if you look at this cell phone data, a reasonable inference from it is that he was, you know, driving around and not in the scene where these murders took place. And so they're still probably going to run that defense, but just how it looks and the words they get to use and how forceful it is to the jury could change if this alibi defense is struck.
But how do they do that when there is evidence he was at the scene? When there was evidence of him being in the area with his cell phone, there isn't any evidence that shows him somewhere else. So how do you even, granted you got to convince a jury, but how do you argue something that's just, there is no, the only evidence that exists supports the opposite?
You know, and that's really what, and that's part of what the prosecution has said in response to this alibi is like, hey, look, there just isn't like a credible factual basis supporting this alibi. And that's one of the challenges to it. And, you know, how do you do that at trial? Reasonable minds can differ on facts and or at least alleged facts. Do they have something to give to the jury on a silver platter saying my client's innocent? They clearly do not.
No, not at all. There is going to be a ruling here soon on whether or not the trial will take place in Moscow, in Leda County. There's a lot of ways of looking at this where, look, it happened here. The community's been through this. They have a right to have this take place in their backyard for the sake of what happened. But there's also the argument to be made of, well, we don't want any sort of appellate issues down the road either of him not getting a fair trial. How do you see the judge solving that?
I hear you. And so we have on one hand the interests of the community, like you said, that they want this resolved in their hometown. And that's completely valid. But the interests and rights of the defendant, Brian Koberger, to a fair trial will trump the interests of the community in having it in that locale. If I was a betting man, I would bet on this judge moving the venue to somewhere else in order to sort of undermine any future appellate argument that Koberger didn't get a fair trial. Because if they move the venue, then at least Koberger cannot argue, hey, all these jurors were against me because it was in the hometown where this happened.
True. And then they don't have to put the community through this hell all over again.
Yeah, that too. It's you know, it's going to be so traumatic no matter what. You know, the eyes of the world are watching this. And so this community has been through a whole lot. And I think they're probably ready to have this wrapped up just as much as everyone else involved.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free.
So you can binge on true crime.
Until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now. Or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.